shaking all over.
And that was the Guess Who with Shaking All Over.
Let me shake
it. This is Trying to Sound Intelligent.
Trying to Sound Intelligent.
I'm Mr. G.
And I'm Joshua.
Ida Hen.
Yes.
I'm giving you your last name.
Thank you.
There's a man with a book opening up, handing out names, man. And that's me.
We've
got a new guest this week. We've got Jordan Stevens.
What's going on?
AKA,
I've actually got like quite a few.
Go on, go for it. How many? Because you're a rapper, innit? You're MC.
I just like making up names sometimes.
Okay,
so it's Jordan Stevens, AKA Lucky Williams, AKA Willy Sunbeam, AKA Puppy Air Swim. That's my most recent one.
Puppy Air Swim.
Puppy Air Swim.
Puppy Air Swim.
Yeah, it's AKA Holly Day, AKA Rizzle.
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 Or Rizzle's like.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah, because Rizzle kicks, yeah, Rizzle, that's a Rizzle kicks connection.
Yeah, right, I mean, that was where I was getting to. Cool. AKA Gnarly Ventura.
Gnarly Ventura, that's nice.
That's one
nice.
Of my favourites.
Yeah. So, what do we do here on Trying to Sound Intelligent?
What we do here is that we are two grumpy old men who have figured out the meaning of life.
42.
The fuck, you're 42.
No.
Seriously,
never,
take
never,
your 42,
never,
right?
Never.
Multiply it by 10, 420, and extract it from your arsehole.
Never.
Right? 42 is the amount of times we will prove Josh wrong in this podcast.
Right? You know, you still haven't got one of that tally.
Nice.
Moving swiftly on.
The good thing about bringing guests is that what I realise is there's an intensity between me and Josh, and it gets diffused by the guests because we kind of go into polite mode.
Oh, they realise I'm right.
As I said, we started off with a beautiful tune, Shaking All Over by The Guess Who. And the reason why I picked that tune is that the original version was by a group called The Pirates, and it's an early example of British rock and roll, homegrown British rock and roll.
Right? Okay.
See? You didn't even know that shit, man.
No.
You
know what I mean? I tend not to know shit things.
you got to save room for the really shit things.
The really good stuff. Yo, so, yeah, Jordan.
Is rock and roll British?
British rock and roll.
Right, our take on rock and
roll.
Our take.
Before, like all the Beatles and Rolling Stones, they were doing cover versions of American rock and roll, and that was an example of an early British rock and roll.
Okay, nice. I like it.
So yeah, you started out with the Rizzle Kicks, is that right? Sick?
Yes. Yeah. So the reason I am, I don't know, the reason I am actually has nothing to do with Rizzle Kicks. That's just a few years ago, you know, like my mum and dad basically met in.
Okay.
So yeah,
basically.
Something happened in Kentish Town. I don't want to talk about it, but saucy.
But 9 months later, it was emotional.
Yeah, 9 months later, I became
right.
So yeah, about 5 years ago, I released a couple songs with my duo Rizzle Kicks, did really well, like shot me into an incredibly interesting new crowd, I gained a bit of mainstream success, sold loads of records, and now I'm kind of like planning to do that again, but along the way I've, you know, been luckily enough I had a lot of beautiful people around me and stayed involved, I believe, with stuff like the spoken word scene to a certain degree.
I think the interesting thing about Rizzle Kicks, right, is that you guys, we booked you for Chill Pill just before you guys blew up, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I think, what was it, who's the other dude, man?
Yeah.
Like, because Simon, because you guys know Simon Moll from Chilper, right? And like, they were in contact. And it's just one of those cases where Simon just goes, man, we've lost them, man. Because that's the thing on the spoken word scenes, that you meet a lot of people that then blow up, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's like Ed Sheeran
that's
and, you know what I mean?
The same thing happened
Amy Winehouse, right?
Same thing happened with us in the Scroobius Pit. We literally booked him just before Thou Shalt Always Kill released.
Yeah.
Actually, we didn't book him. I was going to book AF Harold, and AF Harold turned us down, and I was complaining on MySpace.
Yeah.
And then Scroobius just hollered me up. I was like, yeah, I'd perform it. And I was like, at the time, I really liked Angles. So I was like, yeah, come down. And he did Thou Shalt Always Kill, and I was like, rah.
That's mad. And the thing is, with Rizzle Kicks, it happened in a month.
Yeah,
like, literally,
it's quick.
In 1 month.
Yeah.
I remember, obviously, there was, I'm not throwing aside 3+ years of me working away at it, you know, with Harley in our own time, creating our own little thing on websites or whatever else, on MySpace. But like, once it got in the hands of Radio 1, it was like we went in the charts at like 144, and by the end of the month we're 8. And like, yo, I talk about life flipping on its head. Like,
wow.
It was mad. Imagine, like, I remember getting a phone call off Reggie Yates, like, to tell us we were 22 in the charts. I was at my mate Hunter's house in Brighton playing FIFA, and like we were just chatting about how mad it was that we were like 80 something in the charts, you know. And then suddenly we were live on Radio 1. Crazy. Anyway, it's been a roller coaster, but like,
Happy days?
Happy days, man. Happy days in that, you know, I've been given a platform in which to
move on and
cultivate other interests of mine. For example, like I was saying, I love spoken word. I love, I've actually developed a huge love for art over the last 6 months, which is weird. We're going to be releasing Rizzle Kicks again. We almost finished the third album and, you know, we're going to be jumping back into that world. But I feel like I know myself now a little more as a human being. But that only happened in the last year and a half. Like, there was a 3 or 4 years I was living some mad suspended reality where I was like eating like apple pie and curry, like, because I couldn't cook.
Right.
And I was just in cabs for like 40% of my time. And it was a weird.
I like the way in which, like, the peak of the rock and roll lifestyle is eating apple pie and curry.
You know what I mean? The reason I say it is because, like, I had the moment where I said to my manager in that, like, we released our second album and there was a point we had to make a call whether we wanted to roll straight into the next record, which is what a lot of pop artists do.
Yeah.
Kind of become literally a cog.
Yeah.
And, like, I was like, you know, I haven't not come from necessarily that. I never entered into pop to have that. I wasn't looking to be a wheel and just roll out the album. You know, I love music for music. Happened to become pop, no issue with that. But yeah, they're like, yo, next step. And I'm like, I was like, yo, I can't handle it. I was like, I can't handle it, because it was tough enough dealing with like the shit of people on social networks anyway. You know,
yeah, because you came in at that time.
You can't become people talking. I remember
did
one
you get
time,
into arguments?
Bro, no, I loved the arguments, but it was the fact that it was just the ignorance.
Yeah.
I don't mind a dumb comment. Like, I used to start arguments on match days for fun. I used to go like, Alex Ferguson's a dick, and then like suddenly and all these people who are following Rizzle Kicks are dropping like racist stuff, like all stuff like, oh, you two monkeys, this and that, and I'm like laughing like, oh, that's but then like, but it was just stuff that was starting to bug me, where like I'd be like, you know, I'd have like a friend's birthday, say, I'd get a little bit drunk on the night, then I'd have this thing on Sunday morning, I'd turn up, I'm automatically considered unprofessional because I maybe at 22 chose to not curb my drinking, which is quite difficult for any 22-year-old.
Yeah.
So I've come in hungover, then it's just a domino thing, and then we were doing this cooking thing, I hate cooking, and I thought to myself, what would be funny is if I pretended I didn't know what a spoon was. That's what I thought would be funny, because it's such an outrageous idea.
Yeah.
So they give me a spoon, I'm like, sorry, what's this? And they're like, it's a spoon. And I'm like, I don't... Right? I don't know. Anyone with any kind of dry humour would probably pick up on that. Dude, I look at my phone afterwards and it was disgusting. Like,
wow.
Rizzle Kicks are so stupid.
They don't know what a spoon is.
Like, how have they got a record deal? And I was like, oh my God, I can't be exposed to people.
There's too many knives in the black community.
Yeah, innit? And you know what's mad?
Not enough spoons.
And what's crazy is the fact that, like, I know that, like, a lot of those people have just flicked on that channel. They've gone through it and they've flicked onto Sunday Brunch and they haven't seen any build up to that. They've just seen me holding a spoon going, what's this? And they've gone, idiot, and then flipped the channel and been like, I hate Rizzle. So it got to me. But anyway, so I took a year. But during that year and a half off, which I've now coming to the end of, I grew up a lot. I managed to get back in touch with art I loved and performance I loved.
I just wanted to have a quick mention about your solo material.
Because I've
heard a bit of it online and it's really sick.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's an example.
Cecilia shared it. So, you know,
I'm
friends, Cecilia Knapp.
Cecilia Knapp, yeah.
Fantastic spoken word artist who I've been close to for years of my life. She's a big part of my life.
She's from Brighton as well, isn't she?
Yeah. We actually both went to... I remember we both... Like, I saw her first, it was quite special. She's just performed her own show, I Saw You At Finding Home. And we both went to see Polar Bear do Old Me in that same space about 6 years ago.
That was a great show.
But I just loved the fact that she was there and she went, you know, that's what I want to do. And just seeing her do that in that space was amazing.
So
I did this thing, Wildhood, and that's an example of how I've utilized the year and a half I've had off from Rizzle Kicks. Wildhood is a band consisting of me, my dad, and this guy Tommy.
Oh, wow.
And
really?
It was basically a means in which to outlet emotion that you can't get through a happy hip hop duo. You know what I mean? Like, I love being a happy hip hop duo, but like, when you're stressed, bro, like, because, you know, when you're cool financially and whatever else, like, stress doesn't just go. You know, you'll be friends with people who, you know, are in a situation where financially they're stable.
Yeah,
it just shifts. So suddenly there's a microscope over parts of your life and you can't come back to Rizzle Kicks going like, oh man, I'm really upset about these things.
Yeah.
Because they
you end up making a dark album.
Yeah. So with Wilded, I wanted to just prove my worth and sing and like and write and know that it was completely honest. And
Harley is doing some kind of country blues outfit.
Harley's on a blues vibe.
Jimmy Charles Moody.
He starred in that little short written by Inua.
You're doing some acting as well, aren't you?
We've dabbled in acting again in a year off. This is what I mean. I think we're both quite creative beings, and it's like quite interesting to see how we naturally progressed. We've both done a lot of writing in TV and film and acted. Because, you know, yeah, that's just what we enjoy. It's trying to do what we enjoy. Harley's solo project's wicked. That's huge, man. Like, that guy can write a hook and a half. I'm like Harley's biggest fan, you know. It wasn't like a joke, me wanting to work with him from an early age.
Right.
I could see from, you know, he didn't even want to sing when Rizzle Kicks was created. He wanted to go to drama school.
And I stopped him. You stopped him. You killed his dreams.
Bro, for like 4 or 5 months, I thought I ruined his life.
Right.
Because my teacher could see from earlier, because we both went to Brit school, but I did media and he did theatre.
Yeah.
Neither of us did music. My teacher could see from early that I wasn't going to go to uni because we started doing the talks and I was just at the back. Like, these people were coming in and going like, so basically I didn't get very good grades and then I worked hard at this and then became this. And I'm like, why are you bringing some dude into the school who's telling me that he didn't go to uni and that's why he's successful? And she was like, you raise a good point, George.
Josh is loving that.
So I was never going to uni. I didn't even have to go to the lessons.
Oh, wow.
With Harley, obviously in theatre, it's like, do you want to go to drama school? So he starts doing a drama school thing and we've released a couple of Rizzle Kicks things and I'm going like, brother, give us 1 year. Just defer it 1 year.
Right.
We did it in 6 months, which is flu.
Yeah.
Like, but you raw.
You know what he's like, right? He's like, what's it like Professor X recruiting for the X-Men. Do you know what I mean? Like,
It's
a good example because I'm trying to get more people on board now. I'm trying to make big teams these days.
Oh, see. So yeah, battle rapping.
But one of the reasons why I brought you in there, right, is that I want to talk about battle rap. I was approached by people that shall remain anonymous to take part in battle rap. And I love battle rap. You know what I mean? Right. And the whole idea, there was a whole thing, I guess, you know, Mark Grist was the one that really blew it out of the water in terms of like a poet going up against an MC. And I said no. And the person was like thinking, oh, don't worry, it's not going to be too harsh, it's not going to be too bad. And I was like, no. The reason why I don't want to do battle rap is I know me. A, I'm going in harsh right from the beginning, right? And B, I don't know if I can take that amount of insult without punching someone. You know? So it's for the other guy's benefit that I don't take part in a battle rap. Yeah. But I do admire the form. I mean, it's my guilty pleasure that I do sit down and watch, like Adam from Chill Pill, right? You know, he does them quite a couple of times, right? And it is a guilty pleasure.
Have you ever seen a battle rapper punch another battle rapper?
Yeah, man.
It happens 4 or 5 times. Yeah.
Seriously.
He just mad
It'd be interesting to see what you think of the battle rapper who punched the other battle rapper, whether it was justified.
The thing is that, like, in terms of a battle, I understand it's an art.
It sounds form. More like not you're scared for that person, you're more scared of what that person will say about you, right?
No, it's not that. It's just a case of like, it's antagonism. So like, you're antagonistic towards me. I'm antagonistic towards you.
That's what's interesting. Right? That's how you've perceived it. Because it says battle rap.
No, of course that's how I perceived it. What else can I give you other than my own perception?
This is what I think's interesting is that, so I just to give a little back in is what maybe why you highlighted it, is I did one battle before I actually got signed. I would have supposed to do another one. The kid didn't turn up.
Yeah.
And then from that point on, I was like a walking target anyway. Just in the charts, it's like, why am I? I'm giving you guys this, and I don't know anything about you, so whatever.
Yeah.
But the first battle I did, it was emotional because it was against the kid, currently at the time in Brighton, who was the best rapper in Brighton.
And
I knew that. I mean, even my friends knew that. I was the biggest underdog by far. People knew it, but I had that to my advantage.
Yeah.
And what I think was what I entered into the battle, only saying truths. Well, there were a couple of your mum jokes, but predominantly being based on fact and like approaching.
So basically, truths about his mum.
No, but it's like there are ways in which you can deconstruct someone without actually having really upset them, which I think is really genius.
No. I appreciate that. Like, I got friends of mine that are boxers, and so there's a difference between someone boxing you and someone trying to hurt you, right? Yeah. There's a difference because it's skill. Do you know what I mean? So obviously, it's like get these jabs in, get these headshots in, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But if someone really, really wants to hurt you, well, they'll punch below the belt. But I'm just saying that, like, I know the way I get worked up. I know the way I get worked up, right? Yeah. And I remember when, like, back in the day when I used to, like, run a poetry night in Brixton, and we used to get loads of MCs who would come down and do poetical sets. And outside, they used to have battles. And I ain't gonna lie, some of them would turn into fights. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. Because without no cameras or no whatever, if it's just two dudes arguing on the street with their testosterone up in the air, then someone's getting battered, you know what I mean? And I've broken up fights in the past, and I've started fights in the past. So I know that maliciousness that's within me. And I just thought to myself, you know what? Imagine I'm at this gig and whatever, and I'm meant to be representing poets who are meant to be sort of like more intellectual and more calm and more reasoned and more mature. And I'm going up against this dude, and I'm just thinking, dude, you've pushed the wrong button.
You know what? I understand that. And I think there's definitely something to be said for, like, being like with the testosterone and like the idea of a man and like standing your ground on your beliefs. I understand. I've seen battles where people have punched people, and I kind of felt like, yeah, rah, do your thing, innit? But there is also the other side of it, which is something that I've put into football quite a lot.
Yeah.
Like, and Ian Wright used to do this to defenders, which is that, like, so first you've got to think about your own world. And if someone says something about, if someone said to me, like, say, okay, they didn't know that this hasn't happened, but like, you know, I remember my family passed away and they went like, oh, you know, like, fuck, da-da, whatever. Mm. And you kind of feel a type of way about it. I feel as though, like, your main responsibility should be bringing that other person to breaking point without justifying them attacking you.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, well, this is what I'm trying to say. So I remember I said a lyric against TC, which was like, even if you win this battle, at least my mum's proud of me.
Right.
And I remember people at the time went like, rah, because I said I had to say something cutting. Yeah. And it was like, if he had come back, in fact, he did come back, and his first line was, fuck you.
See, I like that shit.
And yeah, and it's cool, but I don't know. In that moment, you kind of, you knew what would happen there, because it was almost accepting the fact that you have,
it's psychological warfare. The minute I throw a punch means I've lost the battle rap, right? Because I'm disrespecting the art form, I'm disrespecting my own ability, and I'm disrespecting my opponent's ability.
Yeah, true.
You know? But,
it's a tough one.
I will say, though, like, I think that, like, the war with words will, for, in my mind, for infinitely have so many ways in which to approach it that, like, I'll forever watch it.
It's a beautiful art form.
There's one dude called Carter Deems who literally is battle rapped about cats for the last four battles, and he's one of the most popular dudes in Canada.
Right. It's a beautiful art form. I love it. I just can't do it.
Jordan, Gnarly Ventura, what song are you giving us?
I was going to give you Certain Romance by Arctic Monkeys.
Okay. Oh, that's a sick song.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
I ain't heard it. And I know I won't like it. While this tune's getting played, two people are getting bottled.
It's emo as hell.
The minds are made up.
that was A Certain Romance by the Arctic Monkeys. Trying to turn here with Jordan.
Yeah, what's going on?
Mr. G,
you had opinions.
Any group, right, that Gordon Brown likes, I got a hate by default.
What is wrong with Gordon Brown?
Right?
Wait, what?
Gordon Brown, Texture Like Sun. He said he liked the Arctic Monkeys.
So that's better than David Cameron saying he liked it.
It's the same
thing.
That's
what we ended up with.
It's the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Let me
open up politics to you.
Okay.
Gordon Brown, David Cameron, Corbyn, any motherfucker that's in power, right?
Don't bring Corbyn.
I'm telling you, the same.
Corbyn's the realest
the same
dude.
He's the realest
dude.
He's the same dude.
Man. You sound like a conspiracist.
It's the same dude.
Trust me, this man.
It's the same thing, man.
Corbyn's been about for a minute, cuz. This isn't some apparition.
He might have been about for a minute, but I'm just saying that anyone that wants to be in politics shouldn't be in politics.
You know what?
Yeah, but that's Corbyn's. That's the whole thing. But Corbyn didn't mean to end up in the power he's in. He was just real.
There's
no
to change.
Let's not make this
public. Yeah. Right.
You don't like Arctic Monkeys.
Another topic. Talking about Arctic
Monkeys. No, I don't have a problem with Arctic Monkeys.
I used to believe that Arctic Monkeys were like the best lyricists in the UK.
Especially
for that those first two.
No, they're amazing. I will give them that. They are amazing songwriters. They're everything you want a group to be.
And I think it's funny listening, going back to Arctic Monkeys songwriting and then comparing it to, say, for example, modern hip hop.
Right, yeah.
You know, and looking at the difference between that. Say, for example, you look at something like A Certain Romance. Or you know, I bet you look at the dance floor and compare it to, say, Shabba Ranks from ASAP Ferg.
I like that people listen to songs like think that just happened out of nowhere.
I don't have a problem with ASAP Ferg. The way you guys have a problem with him.
I don't have
a problem.
Look, I'm gonna be real with listeners.
Go for it.
During the recording of Certain Romance being played, we were discussed briefly a little bit about and you guys made an amazing point. About the evolution of music. You said you couldn't listen to trap because you felt...
I can't listen to trap, that is true.
Because it made you feel old. And I'm saying I couldn't listen to trap because I felt ASAP Ferg was a moron, right?
That's what
I said.
Yeah.
And I don't stand by it. I said that I've seen him in interviews and I need to have a basis for my adverse opinion.
Mm.
And I wasn't convinced, right? And you guys made an amazing point in saying that, well, when jazz was around, what do you reckon people felt about rock and roll?
Mm.
Yeah.
And that is honestly, I've said this ASAP Ferg thing to so many people, and that's one of the first points where I felt stunned. And I was like, oh, you know what? I do feel as though I am missing something because there's too many of my people who love. I like ASAP Rocky just as a person, and ASAP Mob, ASAP Nast is wicked. And actually, I saw ASAP Ferg do a freestyle, like a genuine freestyle recently. I was really impressed. So I do like the movement, but what I don't get, when you talk about punk.
Yeah.
Being like simple and like them shouting words, and people at that time probably were like, oh my God, you're doing away with rock and roll, right? The only differences in those examples are rock and roll and punk, they still had points, I think. Rock and roll, maybe not so much because I suppose it's more about love and I don't know. Musically, it was like an evolution. In trap music, an evolution. I can kind of get with the fact that, trap is an evolution of hip hop. I kind of get it. But the people themselves, Ferg himself, right? It's just, I can't handle someone who is, there's no point to what they're doing.
Don't you think people would have said the same thing about Sid Vicious?
I still think that about
nihilism for nihilism's sake. This whole, it's awful.
But I can't dispute that about Grime, though. With Grime, with, say, Skepta, he's still, he's not necessarily making songs. Well, he's got some politics in his songs, actually, but it is creating, a kind of tiny, tiny mini revolution, in that, this is something we can come out, similar to punk. You know, Grime, I think, is the closest thing we've got to punk. With Trap, I just have I personally have a bit of an issue when there are so many beautifully educated black people out there that don't have a voice, and that struggle to be heard.
And Josh are gonna love each other.
No, trust me.
You two are gonna love each other.
I'm just trying. So when I hear Kendrick proves that you can say something and people. Like millions of people.
But what about the stupid people?
Yeah, I get it.
No, don't we need some music too?
Can you hear?
No, Mr. that's G, real. That's Mr. real.
G's don't we point. Need some tunes as
no,
well?
That's real.
Because look at you. You are no longer a teenager, right?
No,
do you
not
mean?
At all.
You are no longer thrilled by going into a club anymore, right? You've been to a million and one clubs, a million and one nights, or whatever. So maybe what you want from music is representative of where you are in life.
But
that moment when you're young, hormones raging.
What I'm trying to say is, yeah, when Ludacris and when that lot were. in the early noughties, when they were popping off, right?
Yeah.
Of course, the type of beat is going to be different to what it is now. But what they were saying, yeah.
What, move Ludacris, bitch, get out of the way.
Ludacris was a punchline rapper. You got to remember, in Stand Up, yeah?
Yeah.
Like, it was jokey and stupid, but what he was saying was, like, it had some wit to it. How you ain't going, fuck, bitch, I'm me. I'm the goddamn reason you're VIP CEO. You ain't got CID. I'm young. It was like playing with words and like, he was using the language in a ridiculous...
Don't you think that the present always has to rebel against the past? So if the past gets maybe super lyrical, right, people growing up will just look at that and just think, oh, okay, right, you're super lyrical, but maybe I just want to hear something simple.
Okay, you know what, let me just say this, let me make this point. Okay, I actually stand corrected with ASAP Ferg, because I don't want to dislike him. I don't like disliking things, and everyone bumps the shit, and I've listened to the new ASAP stuff and I want to bump it. What my issue is that in the 90s, hip hop was a means in which people could rebel and have a voice against government, whatever else, okay? And I think it's a shame that hip hop that makes the most money these days talks about simple ass, dumb ass shit that means nothing to any kid struggling. All it gives them is a platform.
Let's let Josh get in, because I know you got something to say.
No, do I even have something to say? I don't think I have anything.
You two
are
in agreement.
I've got to defend
my ignorant crew. Yeah,
that's
right.
What you want.
I've got to defend my ignorant crew, because I remember when hip hop was super righteous. I loved all the Public Enemy and the KRS-One and all that kind of stuff, right? But I remember there was a point where I thought to myself, if I hear another Malcolm X speech relayed in a hip hop track,
it's not about Malcolm X.
No, listen,
though,
I'm gonna be bored to death, because what happens is something gets done and it gets done to death, and people keep doing it over and over and over.
What's that tune?
Bitch Better Have My Money. I remember when that tune first came out, the original hip hop track, right? AMG, right? You know, there ain't nothing like black pussy on my dick. Word to the motherfucking DJ Quick, right? When that tune came out, right, it was like almost like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, I get what
everything
saying.
That would have been righteous.
I'm coming from the perspective of someone who's made his money from just literally encouraging people to dance. I just like people to have fun, smile and dance. It's had an interesting reception from people who are struggling, because like, some people see it as just straight positivity, other people see it as like, they don't trust. Some people, we're in a society where we don't necessarily trust positivity. When I say to someone like, yo, you should be happy, man, like, I'm just happy, and they'll be like, oh, what, are you rich, what, are you posh, what are you? And I'm like, I'm actually neither of those things, bro. I'm just like, I like reading and I'm happy. Do you know what I mean? But what I'm trying to say is there is definitely a place for people to play music that is played in strip clubs or whatever. But it just frustrates me. Like, I'm not gonna go and listen and big ASAP Ferg up, because it's like, he could say something a little more.
Well, that's true, but give him time to grow, though.
Yeah, true.
Give him time to grow.
So I guess the question I want to ask is like, okay, cool. So you do RZA Kicks, right?
Yeah.
RZA Kicks is kind of like happy hip hop, right? Yeah. Do you not see, say, for example, ASAP Ferb as like sort of like an American version of that? Where
of RZA Kicks.
When you think about American exuberance and hyper-conscious, because in the UK, have fun, great times. In the US,
and then just think about it. There are people that don't know you. We know you, right? So we've seen you at the poetry nights.
You
know what I mean? Yeah, we see you at the poetry nights. You know what I mean? We've seen you at all loads of different types of events. You know what I mean? We've seen you promoting different types of art forms, promoting the Calder culture, talking about politics. So we've seen that side of you.
But there's some dude, PS Vita as well.
There's some dude out in middle of Nowheresville, right, that would only just listen to a couple of tracks, would have seen you not recognize a spoon and just think and write you off as being dumb. You know what I mean?
The realest shit. That's what I needed to hear, because I've always, that's very true. That's very true. What I would like to conclude with this point is that, like, I think I need to actually allow myself a little more space to just simply enjoy the simple pleasures of ASAP Ferg, etc., because I am someone who likes to provide simple pleasures too. But I do intend, as a human being, to inspire and like, hopefully see that there's more to maybe black culture.
I think as a final point, I remember watching, because like you said at the beginning, I'm coming from this as a point of age. I think I've reached the age where I can look at something and be like, why don't I get that? And just be honest, it's just not for me.
Not for me,
I'm just too old. I can't see that particular song. It doesn't reference enough things that I've experienced as a young person to be like, oh, great, I get where you're coming from. You know, I remember watching the Asian lady who sang in I think it was South Pacific. She sang the happy talkie talkie.
Yeah.
And I remember having an interview with her, and she was just talking like, her whole point was modern music is terrible. But then I looked at it and like, you're old. You've been singing Happy Talk. Yeah. Of course modern music doesn't make any sense.
I'm not saying that it's, yeah, it's more, yeah, I'm, mean, not, I'm talking more, I'm not talking me. More content, but yeah, no, yeah, I know what you're saying.
This is just for me. It, you know, even on content, it took me a long time to get into hip hop. It took me a long time. And someone like the music I'm about to play now, which is ASAP Ferb, remix, right?
Yeah.
I like it for the same reason that I like Dizzy Rascal's I Love You.
Yeah, but that's, see, that's already, you've already invalidated it though. That's invalidated it though.
I love example
of someone.
Track.
That's an example of someone who's actually saying something. He's making a point. Shabba Ranks is, I've got gold, I'm rich, and I'm stupid. That's literally all they're saying. I'm rich, I'm stupid. Even if it's the I Love You, you're encapsulating a group of people who feel the same way about girls. That is a relatable thing. Shabba Ranks.
Yeah. And also, I guess the beauty of I Love You is there was a male point of view and a female point of view.
Yeah, well, exactly. Sorry, yeah. Exactly.
These are two valid points. I'm still playing Shabba Ranks. Pop the powder, say three times for me on the powder. Shabba. Oh man, say that little louder. I love my name, make a rip up the powder. Say three times for me on the powder. Shabba. Hey, I love my name, come to my name. Call out my name, follow my name. Now stop until it reach all of fame. Say your body want Shabba, not the same. People, I love my name, come to my name. Call out my name, follow my name. Now stop until it reach all of fame. Anytime respect flame. I mean they mean need a true cold placer. Turn on believer, he not believer. Come code a paper, follow the procedure. Me no rocking but follow the leader. Head dog go jump off a fool them shoulder. Chop off them head with me cleaver. From Jamaica right back to Geneva. Shabba Rank in a true cold placer. Shabba
Rank. Shabba Rank. Eight gold rings like I'm Shabba Rank. Four gold chains like I'm Shabba Rank.
Yeah.
One gold tooth.
So I can get a new Bugatti, but a nigga rather chill. Rather sit up on the block and stack it till I get a meal. What about them old bitches who ain't wanna give me feel? Now they wanna make it Gucci cause a nigga got a deal. Rather double up and strap and hit a booty in Brazil.
I'll hit puta cana when shit gets so real.
Two bad bitches in my vehicle. Yellow hood raps like Pikachu. Hit it from the back, got to scream it like like Jesus do. Bringin' rappers from the dead like Jesus do.
Can't call them both us cause they eatin' do.
I bust a rhyme and flip moon. Nigga, y'all
mutter pecan, Puerto Rican be freaking a deacon. A hood poke, get good throat and speaking the sheet. She feeling my team, I asked her if she feeling the weekend.
Cause that nigga like Shiggy, hey, why you singing? I'ma get the bread while I'm breathing. I'm the rookie of the year, you better believe it. I be barking like a Q, like a bird collegiate. Like a pedigree.
Need another plug at a quick trip. Quick, y'all nigga had that minute money backflip. I'm trapping with accuracy. Gold on my toilet like masterpiece. Lil' mama, she drunk off a daiquiri. Shabba ring my pinky finger, please.
Shabba.
You mad cause you working at Mickey D. Your nigga on flexin' like Hercules.
Flex.
You can take her to the movie and go watch a film. ASAP Ferb, front me a pelican.
Link.
That's my medicine.
Link.
Quavo, old money, Sega Genesis.
Take go. Off, got tingo ring. Bling.
Blink.
If you try to take my ring, gun go bang.
Pew.
Cashed out on a jeweler.
Ching.
Got a feeling like Martin Luther King. I had a dream.
If it's, I only sip if it's then with this beam, I extend in my clip. If I see the police, grab my chills and I deal.
Chop
my fingers, we feeling the arenas. I figured that Hannah Montana and real. I feel like that Keisha K.O. That double AK-47s, they aim at your lip.
This shit is ridiculous.
Look, nigga, get it straight. You can never fuck with my click, boy. Oh, shit, quick. Hit you with a drop kick, jaw. Bone break, you can see the way the clock tick, tock, tick. Funny rolling, nigga, stop, bitch, boy. Bust round, back up in the cockpit, spit toxic. Always giving niggas hot shit, boy. Niggas see me shine until it's 666. Any bitch really want a slob dick, boy?
So much jury nigga looking priceless out here.
A lot of rapping niggas looking lifeless out here. Kill them till they say a nigga trifling out here.
Hey, you can let them talk. You know who the nicest out here?
Vroom, vroom, vroom. Bite those pussy, better get low when you hear the shot, boss pussy. Every time I come, you know I body niggas fully.
Ooh.
Godfather with it while I'm
learning, little rookie. And I'm digging in your shorty, though a pussy kinda bushy. Fucking on a low Versace logo on a hoodie.
Yes.
Here home, blow my nigga, bam, bam, bam.
Let it go, you already know what's really goody.
Goody.
Killing shit like I'm some kind of cancer.
Bag your bitch, now she my private dancer.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand why niggas feel like they have to ask who the God is when you know what's the answer.
Uh-huh.
Show cold shit till they be calling me strangler. $100 million safe behind the plasma.
Okay.
Pop up with it till they spreading propaganda.
Uh-huh.
And when I tech talk and we pop your man up on my Shabba ranks.
Nigga, it's
so much money.
And that
it's like I just rob a bank.
Shabba ranks. fucking Busta Rhymes doing Jabba Ranks remix. That's a tune, bro. Don't hate.
I only hate it because you. It's from you. You know what I mean? But this is trying to sound intelligent. I'm Mr. G.
I like Busta Rhymes.
Well, oh, yeah. Busta Rhymes. Hey, Busta Rhymes coming over here. He's coming over on the 10th of June, I think. Yeah, man. No, I rate Busta Rhymes, man. I rate Busta Rhymes.
Do you also rate the Halloween that he was in film-wise?
No.
Busta Rhymes was in a film?
Check it out.
Was he in a film?
I know he was in Higher Learning.
I'm getting up IMDb right now. I will tell you, I'll give you a little lowdown on what Busta Rhymes is.
No, dude, you do it off the top of your head like the rest of us. Turn your phone off, man.
Busta Rhymes karate kicked Mike Myers out of a window in Halloween, bro.
All right, then, man.
You've not seen
that's a newer version of Halloween.
So speaking of films, what films are.
Well, the thing is, I can't talk about the film I want to talk about. I was meant to talk about Victoria, right? But because Jordan here doesn't want me to ruin it like he knows I will ruin it.
Why would you ruin something like Victoria? Why would you?
I was going to give a beautiful breakdown from my point of view,
I don't understand. No, honestly, that's like, I don't understand the fundamental principle of you doing that. You're appealing to only people who've seen Victoria on the podcast, and it's like already a small time film.
You're better off going on
mainstream films that people have all seen, and then they can agree with you.
Oh my god.
Oh good.
The only reason why
I can't reply is because he has to see Victoria, and then we are going to have this argument in private.
This is so good.
Okay, so let's talk.
You're one of those dudes who puts up pictures of what happened in Game of Thrones or spoilers of Walking Dead and on Facebook. Guys, I don't want to bring any spoilers, but
let's talk about a film we've all seen, Spice World.
That's a bad boy film. Tim Roth, man, he's the manager.
He's a killer.
No. I do like Spice World. I can't lie. It's my guilty pleasure.
Let's talk about films that we are looking forward to seeing.
Forward to seeing, right?
Despite all of its problematic nature, I am so looking forward to Doctor Strange. I can't hide it. It's called Cumberbatch. It's got Tilda Swinton playing Tibetan monk.
You saying that like that's a positive thing?
It's a bad thing.
Dude, that's beyond bad. That's beyond bad. We need to talk about this, right? We've come off the back of a whitewashed Oscars to the point where it was actually highlighted. And there's a fantastic video online by John Oliver, which breaks down like how outrageous it's been. Exodus, or Gods and Kings, or Exodus, whatever the Egyptian thing.
Two of them, Gods of Egypt and Gods and Kings.
That's disgusting. Like, I don't want to sound like too righteous, but like being a kid who grew up loving ancient Egypt, or any kid, I think the Egyptians are fascinating.
Yeah,
for two clearly like westernized white dudes playing Egyptians, that's bad, Brendan, it goes
even further than that.
Tilda Swinton now 2016 playing something that like it's not even like they've changed the character, bro. She's playing it the same character.
And their whole argument about we're only doing this because we want to take care of the Chinese market, it's like your entire film is full of people dressing in Asian influenced cultural
if you want to get a Chinese market, then don't do a comic book that's based in Tibet.
I'm looking forward to Jackie Chan as Black Panther.
I mentioned this at the last trying to sign that we did a few weeks back. Like, I am still vexed that the guy they got to play Apocalypse was Oscar Isaac. I will never let
Apocalypse from X-Men. You seen it?
Apocalypse.
The new X-Men.
The new X-Men just out now.
Which one's Apocalypse?
Apocalypse the is blue the dude. The first mutant who came from ancient Egypt.
I haven't seen the new.
Like, Beast was Kelsey Grammer. You know why? Because before Beast turned fucking blue, he was a white dude. Before his powers fucking grew, he would have been a black dude.
But that's Hollywood admitting.
No, also they would rather admit that ancient Egyptians were like aliens. They'd rather admit they're aliens, right? You know what I mean?
I haven't heard the best reviews about it, so I don't want to really waste
time. He's got bad reviews, thank God.
But you know, yeah, I mean, Oscar Isaac is actually a good example because he's a fantastic actor. Same with Tilda Swinton, but it's like it's just Marvel comics are so exciting. They're so brilliant, and at the time the decisions made within those comic books to draw characters of other ethnicities was so big. They only managed really to get Black Panther in terms of like the big heroes.
Yeah,
so please, man, like the few characters things that have been that are of other ethnicities, or other cultures, and let them have it.
Yeah. Bro. Let us have it.
Like it's mad, bro. And you know what was the quote by the director about about Christian Bale playing Muhammad?
Oh, if I go Muhammad,
sorry, not Muhammad playing Moses.
Yeah,
if it's I like, go so and so,
how am I going to sell a film on Muhammad so and so? Yeah, and it's like, don't do the fucking film then, bro.
You couldn't sell it on Christian Bale either.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's just rubbish, man. But do you think that Marvel films have peaked?
No.
Do you think it's been saturated?
No. Marvel films.
Nah, not after Deadpool.
No. See, Marvel films will peak when they make a good Incredible Hulk.
Yeah,
because that is the challenge. Incredible Hulk.
I don't know if they can do it because I'm a Hulk dude. Yeah. I love the Hulk. The comic Hulk is my favorite superhero. Right? Reason why I like the Hulk is that
I'm angry.
Hulk wrecks everything.
Yeah.
Turns back into a human and just goes, "Wasn't me," and just walks on to the next one. That's why it's
that's why they've never made a good
ultimate
Hulk film.
Male irresponsibility.
I don't think it's male. I think it's just irresponsibility. I think it's just it encapsulates the side of human nature that is he is the epitome of escapism. Like if we all had our own Hulks, it's like you can do whatever the fuck you want, right? And no one's saying
you
anything.
could almost say that the spirit of the Hulk is encapsulated by ASAP Ferg.
you can do
whatever you want.
You know what? Like completely. It's like I just think my favorite series of Hulk. Of the Hulk comics is World War Hulk.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, imagine like Marvel approaching that, going like, right, we've spent 2 decades like, you know, glorifying all these beautiful little characters, all their like fucking sappy sideline stories about their wives and lovers, whatever else, and we're gonna make them pretty much like banish the Hulk on like reasonably with like dodgy grounds, like, you know, just ego basically. Do you know what I mean? Like one dude who encapsulates America being Iron Man, like in terms of his greed and you know, like status in terms of a technology or whatever, banishing a dude to the moon or whatever, and then him going back and just straight smashing everyone you love. Like he kills off everyone.
That's what I love about the Hulk.
See, honestly, when you think
he
about it,
he kills off everyone, even Spider-Man.
Just imagine if after Thanos, right, the next phase is actually, because in a way, I think the movies, the way they're treating Hulk, or the way they treat Hulk as this kind of wild card, there is an opportunity.
Because he wasn't in Captain America Civil War.
He wasn't in Captain America.
What?
No, Hulk's not in it.
Wow. Sorry.
Oh shit, we ruined it for you. Well, look, I ain't ruining Victoria, but I'm going to ruin fucking Captain America. He's not in it.
No. Why?
Thor's not in it.
Wait.
What?
Hulk's not in it.
Because he's green. You can't have Black Panther and someone green in the same movie.
I was told that they kept to the comic books.
What?
No.
Is he in the comic version?
Yeah, he's in the comic version.
In the comic books, what happened in the comic books, right?
It starts from him.
Because obviously, there's no way they can get Hulk on or off the registry, right? He has a bit of a big fufu, and then Reed Richards and Iron Man all both decide that, you know what, you are
too dangerous.
Him getting sent to the moon is part of
he's banished off,
and that's where the Planet Hulk thing starts. Now he lands on the moon,
they're having the whole civil war whilst he's on the moon.
This hasn't happened in the films
yet.
In the comics, he goes off to the moon, right? He crash lands, right? He takes over this whole world, right?
Yeah.
He has a wife, he has a kid,
and he gets real angry and big.
No, he actually calms down. He chills. This is
because I thought Sonic Boom goes up there and winds him up.
No, this is what happened. He's chilling, right? He's got a wife, he's got kids, he's managed to calm himself. He's like, oh my god, Richard did the right thing. He's about to send them an email, be like, bro, thank you so much for sending me. The spaceship they sent him in explodes and kills everyone.
And that's why he goes nuts.
That's
he goes nuts, man.
Right? Sonic Boom comes up, and then he nicks Sonic Boom.
I tell you a film Hulk should have been in, right? Yeah. Hulk should have been in Guardians of the Galaxy because Rocket Raccoon's first appearance was in a Hulk comic.
Was it?
Yeah. Y'all don't even know about them things. Newcomers, man. Do you know what I'm saying, right? In fact, the first comic, right, which Hulk had, the first comic cover where Hulk is there's ever any speaking on the cover was Hulk and Rocket Raccoon, and I've got it. Boom. Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Take that.
Take it.
Headshot to the back.
I love that.
Well, I feel like I actually did it as someone
Black Panther, though.
As someone who even enjoyed Ang Lee's The Hulk, I actually liked it.
You liked Ang Lee the first one?
Yeah.
I really like it.
I thought because Hulk was a very good method.
I'm not that bothered. I've only recently been excited by Deadpool.
Really? Because I didn't like Deadpool,
I thought Deadpool was the Deadpool by outright winner of my best Marvel film.
Seriously,
100%.
I thought it was just too it broke the fourth wall too much.
But you know what I think's magic about that, yeah, is that aside of Marvel, that has never been done in cinema. Fact. That's what I thought was amazing. What? To have the main character reference the actor playing him.
Yeah.
Was sick, bro.
The whole way he was hating on Hugh Jackman
and bigging up Ryan Reynolds, like, yeah. That's never been done in cinema.
Hasn't Charlie Kaufman?
Maybe being John Malkovich.
Yeah,
maybe,
something like that. But yeah. Look,
it was too clever for me.
I love that.
It wasn't ignorant enough.
Yeah, not enough ASAP Ferguson.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it wasn't clever enough. I mean, I'm...
The 4-4 thing I think was brilliant. It made me feel amazing.
There's been Garth Ennis comics where a guy... He's fighting a Nazi person, right? And the Nazi person's like, I've got a knife. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
And so this guy just chats a whole bunch of bullshit into a speech bubble. And then he grabs the speech bubble,
right.
Beats this guy to death.
That's amazing.
That's pretty heavy. That's heavy.
This is sort of scene where like...
That's heavy.
Man, he's like a single plane, right? And he's fighting an entire army. And the army are like, oh, we can deal with him. He's a single plane. He goes, no, what should I do? He flies out of the panel, turns around, and then shoots the whole panel to death.
Right.
Like,
oh wow. Out of the
back. And you're looking at this and you're just like, this is a comic book, and you're like, shit.
But this is reasons why you don't like Deadpool.
Because I'm looking at the Deadpool thing, I'm just like,
it hasn't been done before Marvel.
He could have done more.
It's brilliant, bro.
It's the title credits
in themselves where he's just putting up black guy or Asian doctor. Like, it's hilarious.
Well, I'm thinking like, man could have stepped out.
Dude, he turns up to the X-Men thing, knocks on the door, and he goes, funny how there's only ever two of you guys here in this huge house. It's almost as if the studio couldn't afford. Yeah. I love that.
To me, that was just too corny, man.
That's not what I did. Can I step in there? You can't get away with saying that. You think a main character almost like pulling a blind on like,
dude, he ain't Che Guevara, man. He ain't causing a revolution.
He's not causing revolutions, but the fact is he's taking a mick out of what I consider corny, and you think that's corny. That blows my mind.
Yeah, because
it's Inception.
Because you're happy with a certain level of corniness, right?
That's why I like Deadpool.
And above that, you see that as being intellect. I will trump your intellect and call your intellect corny. That's where I'm coming from. The best thing about Deadpool was Colossus.
The best thing about Deadpool was the fact that they rinsed Ryan Reynolds being Green Lantern in a Marvel film.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Standard.
I don't care what you guys say. That is beyond the expectations I have been given by a Marvel film. This is what I'm trying to say. You can say you can trump my intention. It's not it, but the reason I got bored, yeah, I remember the exact moment when I got bored was I watched Thor, I was watching Thor and I was mad excited for like half the film, and I was like, yo, this character's joke. And it was also one of the first times where you were given an Easter egg at the end of the film before with the hammer and Iron Man. You're getting excited, I'm being built up.
They started out with Iron Man, actually.
That's what I just said.
Oh, yeah.
No, so I thought you said you saw
Thor. Yeah.
At the end of Iron Man, you see his hammer. And then you see, and then I was excited. But then, you know, you get three quarters of the way in, it's like, it's the same conventional bullshit. And that's why I started to lose interest in Marvel films, because it wasn't giving me what I wanted.
But don't you think that's the reason why Deadpool worked for you? Because you've lost interest in Marvel films, then here comes a Marvel film which then takes back shots at all the other films.
It's not necessarily back shots, it's being able to put your favourite Marvel comic character into a film that doesn't apply to the same conventions.
Because what happens...
I want to see... If you take like an interesting twist on heroes as like Christopher Nolan, for example, who for me did the most incredible resurge of Batman ever, because DC are kind of dead in the water anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I can't help but look at a hero film and go, you could do more. You can do more here than have Natalie Portman kissing literally a god. literally a god who with a hammer that can wipe out the world and the dude's breaking teacups or whatever. Like, I like it to a certain point and then I go, boring. Deadpool, they take the mick out of that, because ultimately, if you're a fucked up dude who's a guy who come from the army, all this is the actual story from the comics, you're not realistically going to live your life in the same way as it's portrayed. And that's what Guardians of the Galaxy tried to do it. They tried it. They were purposely getting rid of convention, like when that person's about to do the speech at the end and the girl knocks her out or whatever. or even just having good music in it. Yeah. That was like a huge thing. But can you not think about that, bro? That was a huge thing to even have a good song. The Incredible Hulk film could have amazing music and a dark twist and not end happily, which is why there's not been made anyway.
Yeah.
Hulk isn't a happy ending.
Hulk needs to smash. Ant-Man, this is what's interesting.
Ant-Man, right?
That was good for what it was.
Ant-Man was Edgar Wright, was supposed to right? Okay, so the dude, Hot, for those who don't know, Hot we Fuzz. All know, the Cornetto trilogy, Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead, and then the World's End, right?
Yeah.
That is Edgar Wright. He is the most exciting writer-director out of Britain in the last 20 years, maybe,
yeah,
potentially. In terms of like mainstream appeal, we obviously got the old legends. He got a Marvel contract, huge,
yeah,
right? Then at some point, he falls out with the producers and the studio and jumps off the project, and another director comes in and does it, okay? If you watch the film, all the good parts of Ant-Man are Edgar Wright, and you can know because they kept the screenplay. So the Mexican best friend who does the jokes about his family dying, who does the whole story thing that doesn't make any sense. That is an Edgar Wright character.
That's a brilliant bit. You watch
any other Edgar Wright film, and that is Edgar Wright's writing. And one can only assume that he was trying to take the film in a direction that was unique to Ant-Man and didn't.
Yeah, because I surprisingly enjoyed Ant-Man. I never rated him as a comic character, but as a film, I thought, wow, this is a brilliant film.
I feel there was more. There were more that I enjoyed Ant-Man. I'm gonna say it's a great film, but I feel the reason I enjoyed it was because of Edgar Wright's presence on the screenplay, and I think that what they did is they didn't let him have as much fun.
I think it's funny that, you know, no one's thought about rebooting Blade that actually started this whole comic book.
Blade.
What can they do to Blade other than
send him to jail for tax evasion?
But Blade isn't Marvel, is he?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, though?
What?
Blade, when people were talking about, oh yeah, you know, X-rated movie that made lots of money, Deadpool, we were like, no, Blade did that.
Yeah.
He started comic books before even X-Men.
Yeah.
Now Blade's heavy. Blade's heavy.
Bad boy. Yeah. I haven't seen it the whole way through because I got too scared as a kid, yo.
Casting Michael B. Jordan as Storm. Cast him as Blade.
Listen, let's not talk about Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Final song is
by DJ Shadow, and it's called Mashing on the Motorway.
Alright, cool. Trying to sound intelligent, we've had Jordan, you've been a brilliant, excellent guest. Thanks for coming down.
Oh, by the way, can I say quickly on cinema, if you haven't seen the Turkish film Mustang, I just say watch it. I've got to say, I know I don't want to discuss it because I don't want to ruin it like some people. but I'm saying it's one of the best films I've ever seen. It's beautiful.
When you see Victoria, we'll have a chat. All right.
We shall chat about Victoria. We shall watch Mustang. Trying to sound intelligent.
I pick yourself up.
Hey there. Just your friendly neighborhood speed demon. I'm out to NASCAR, to fast car, to the last car, till there ain't no cars left. Let the gusts go by with enough dust flying around to make you cry, bite down and choke half near to death. I love you on your left. Sorry about that. See, like you, I push a bucket. I like to burn big. Like you, I gotta cut all the bullshit out of my life to live. So I tell them, move over, this road ain't big enough for you. I'm flying like Knight Rider, they trying to keep up with their grandma outside. Besides, maybe they steel belts and radios expired. Maybe they tired, maybe they odometer needs to be rewired or something.
much hostility. Y'all just keep checking your rear windows. Maybe you'll catch me passing.